Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Raising Good Humans. I'm your host, Dr. Aliza Pressman, and today we're talking with actress, model, and mom of three, Molly Sims. And don't forget to stick around for the closing notes because I'm diving into discipline, how to help your children learn how to behave, how to listen, and how to navigate the rules of society while still being individuals and having a sense of autonomy and self. But first, let's talk to Molly.
I try not to be trendy. But then I also try to know, because we are raising children in, you know, a very different world. And I think I can't ignore that as much as I kind of want to sometimes. Like, I just read this book, what was it called? The Yes Brain?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just had Dan Siegel on who wrote that book.
I thought it was a really good book, you know?
It's such a beautiful book. I love his work so much. He's truly incredible. Just the idea that if your brain is in a stress mode, it's shut down.
Scarlett went through this time where, I mean, like, she would go to red in 4 seconds. And she literally could not get out of it. I mean, I'd drag her upstairs. I'd stand outside of the door. And it really taught, I think, Scott and I as much as me, okay, step back. She's not hearing
anything. Right, you're wasting your time.
You're wasting your time.
And it's only frustrating you, ooh, right?
You know.
So it's I think those are such wise words, because if you take your energy up trying to figure out how to communicate with a child who's in a no brain, you know, just seeing red, you are just going to make yourself crazy.
I know.
And then they're going to feel that energy, and then it just becomes a cycle of ridiculous,
I know,
tension, when really she just needs to get her brain open to hearing.
Like,
you.
She can lose her mind if she's not going to get to wear the pink dirty t-shirt that has holes in it for the third day in a row. Like, lose it.
So I have a question. Do you feel frustrated when she loses it, angry that she's being so like annoying, or do you feel like, this is too painful for me to see her feel this kind of distress, or none of the above?
I feel angry.
Right.
And I know it's crazy. And someone told me, they're like, you shouldn't want her to wait. I'm like, I can't not.
Right. Well, also you can't force your own feelings to be a particular way, but you can just notice them.
Yeah, I definitely notice them. But I, you know, she has to work through it. And I get that. And, you know, but that can be really challenging at times.
So what happened with the shirt example? Because I think that's actually, that happens to, I mean, Scarlett is not alone.
No, she's not alone. So she gets to pick out 2 outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever outfits, I have to approve them.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, she has to wear bloomers. It's like
a school rule.
Like, she has to. And, yeah, like, I don't really care if you don't, but your teachers do. And then she has to choose. And then she can't. Once we've chose those, we're done.
That's great.
So that's ultimately, like, I was doing like 5 outfits. And then it got crazy.
Right.
And then I'm like, I don't even know what the outfits are.
You know what? When you get a takeout menu, when you're in New York City and there's every menu in the world,
you don't remember what you taught me.
I cannot even.
I don't.
No, you taught me. You're like, you're giving them too many choices. Oh,
great. We've already talked about this.
Eggs, pancakes, turkey bacon, bacon, waffles. You just say, do you want eggs or bacon? Or do you want both?
I can't believe what a good memory you have, because that had to have been like 6 years ago.
I always remember that. I always remember you saying not too many choices because it's the worst. And you also said, if you want them to pick the one you want, always do it the last. So if it's the bacon and the eggs.
It's just like recency. You hear that. Yeah. It's the last thing you heard.
But the tantrums, that definitely, you know, my husband wouldn't, not that he wouldn't, but he wouldn't, how do I say this? He wouldn't draw the line. Like, he wouldn't hold accountability. And so when you
because
don't hold accountability.
He felt like he wanted to make things right.
Yeah, of course. He wasn't home. He comes in. Yeah. She's in the middle of it.
He wants to fix the feeling.
But it doesn't help ultimately, because it just keeps happening and happening and happening. And I also, holding the line and literally following through, like, has been the best. If I would have done it earlier, I probably wouldn't have gone so far. But that's definitely something I've learned. You know, it's like you have to hold the line. Mm-hmm. And they know. Like videos. You don't get three videos. You get one video. Then I was like, oh, I guess you can have two. But like, is it one or two?
Right. It's confusing.
It's confusing.
The truth is that there's going to, like, some of the time you're going to be confusing, because we're all like doing this as humans, not robots. And there are just times when you're just like, just watch two videos. I don't care.
I know.
But most of the time, if most of the time you're predictable, yeah, that's safe. That feels safe.
I know. I notice when, you know, they all go through this, you know, oh, mom, you're so mean. Mom, you're so mean. Oh, yeah, the mean mom. Oh, I'm so mean. You know, you just had a play date and hadn't made dinner and cookies.
It's awful.
It's awful. Your life is horrible.
But what they mean is you have boundaries.
I have boundaries. So I guess my question is, you know, it's all about like getting into college, and you talk about you got to have this and you got to have that. But then it's like, I feel sometimes, and I really try to go against it in terms of like their scheduling, you know, when is too much? When is it too much? Mm-hmm. When is your schedule overscheduled and it's just too much?
If the motivation comes from inside, I really want to learn how to play this sport or this instrument,
well,
or this language.
I love baseball. I love basketball. I love soccer. And then I have my husband being like, he can do all of them. I'm like, we physically cannot do all of them.
Well, right. And the world your worlds can't totally revolve around them, because then when they find out in the world that it doesn't revolve around them, that's going to feel pretty bad. So for overscheduling, like as long as sleep is preserved, because you can't learn anything or behave in any normal way when you're constantly overtired because your schedule doesn't allow for downtime and for getting to bed, then he could do, you know, whatever keeps him going. But if you find his behavior changing or his sleep patterns changing, then you go like, I think this has been too much.
Okay. We haven't. I mean, like we sleep a lot. Like we have downtime. And I'm like, I keep reading. I'm like, the overscheduled child, the snow plowing parent.
Well, that's different. I know. And also it's so.
The terms are, I'm like, what's that
the
again?
The terms are.
Making it easy for your child?
Yeah. The terms are tricky because they just make people feel shitty about themselves. But I think the idea behind the snowplow parent would be that, like, not only are they playing soccer at the best soccer league, but you go talk to the coach to make sure that the coach puts them in the game every time. And you make sure that if they were unhappy, that you fix, you know, like the mean kid on the team isn't allowed to come back anymore. That would be kind of making it so that all of the normal wear and tear of being a kid gets removed. And then they can't be resilient because nobody told them that that there was a snowplow there. They thought the world existed with like an easy path. And then again, you find it, you grow up and you're like, well, that was a giant lie,
right?
And I can't function now. So that's the danger of snowplowing. But
that is a much better definition that I learned. And I'm like, wait, what is
snowplowing? What is the problem with snowplowing?
Well, they were like, that parent is snowplowing. I'm like, okay. So like I literally tried to go and look it up. I was like, what?
So that's kind of what that is. But, and then there's helicoptering, which everybody used to talk about, which is just over.
I see parents doing that.
You know, you're just hovering a little too much, and you need to let them kind of get things wrong and not fix things.
Get things wrong, and also just the hovering alone can make a child crazy.
Right. Physically even hovering is can make you crazy. And of course, that happens more with your first kid than later. But having confidence that they've got this lets them have a little bit of appropriate space. Like, you're not going to give the same space to Gray that you will to Brooks, because that would be dangerous.
Right. Very dangerous.
So, and then what was the other label that you were talking about?
Snow plowing, helicoptering, overscheduling.
Oh, overscheduling. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So the scheduling, I think, speaks more to pressure and motivation. Like, if the message to your kids is our kids collectively is the eye on the prize is this is college. And what you really mean is, I just want you to get a good education. Let them know that's what you mean. And it's not about building like the right resume for college.
You know what it was? I'll tell you, to be honest with you, I loved Vanderbilt, but I did not grow up having a great public education. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, as much as my parents were so supportive, and, you know, that really hurt me.
When you were applying to college.
I wasn't prepared the way my friends were.
When you
prepared.
Arrived at college, you had a harder time.
Oh my gosh. Very difficult. And I hated that. I wish that, you know, I wished I had a better, like, sometimes I get uncomfortable because I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not as smart as someone, you know, I'm just being honest. I'm not.
You don't really mean smart. You mean educated. No. Well, like, you mean book smart.
Yeah. Not like I have this thing where I'm like, oh God, make sure and look at my writing just to make sure like it's, you know, it's good enough or like it's appropriate enough or it's polite and political, you know, not political, like professional, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've always, and that in the back of my mind, like, I don't want to put that on my child or my children, but I can feel it creeping up on me when I'm like, okay, I really want you to get a good education. Because then once you're in college, you know, like, I do want you to have those certain skills that I guess I didn't have.
I think that makes so much sense, so that they have more, you feel like maybe you didn't have as many choices when you got there because you weren't given as many tools.
Right.
But the only thing I would say is that nowadays what's happening with kids, especially in private schools that are really competitive, is that they are so prepared for college in terms of academics because they're taking college-level courses by high school.
It's crazy.
Like, tons of them, that they are so stressed out. Right. They are not doing it for themselves.
I don't want that.
And they get to college and they're burnt out.
I picked a school because I don't want that.
No, it's not worth it because
I want them to be happy.
Yeah, they're not actually enjoying college. They're not getting to college with the adult skills they need, like the stuff that you weren't giving yourself credit for, drive and persistence.
Oh, listen, and I working loved a flash hard. Card and a highlighter, let me tell you.
So that's, you know, just something to keep in mind that what's happening in school, they don't need more academic work on the side. Maybe reading and engaging in like the love of discovery, but that's different, and that helps keep them motivated. When you motivate kids with just grades, the real risk is that they cheat because they know that what really matters is that they get a great grade so they can get into a great school.
Brooke said something. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, how'd your handwriting get so good overnight? And he looks at me and goes, I'm in it to win it. They're going to pick someone, a boy and a girl or someone from each grade or whatever for like this handwriting thing. I was like,
so strange.
Really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm going to win it. He goes, my friend said I have really good handwriting. So I just was like, okay, I can do this.
But then he chose, like, that's such a great example. If you had said to him,
I know,
there's a competition in handwriting, you better win.
I know.
He might win and he might work hard, but it would be to please you. And it would be really like setting a bad tone.
And parenting is hard. But the one thing I've learned is what works on one does not work on the other. And one way is not, it's just, there's so many different ways of parenting and getting the same results.
And you have to figure out what works for you and what works for your kid. And I'm very aware of that doing this. I don't want anybody to feel like there's, and in my job in general, forget about this podcast, but in general, it's important. I never want anybody to leave a conversation feeling shittier about their experience as a parent than they did.
Well, we already feel shitty. So sometimes right. when you're like, oh gosh, I should have done it this way. But you know what? It's important to be heard, but it's also important to know, like, maybe there's, you could have done it a different way. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking about the brain, mm-hmm. the yes brain, like I was not doing it the way the book said, you know, like in these certain type of situations where I was getting heated and she was getting heated and my husband was getting heated and mm-hmm. he's like, let's get a lock on the door. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think we can lock her in, you know? And it, we had to take a step back. We talked to someone about it, and it was really interesting. And,
so you took another approach.
And I took another approach, and it's definitely helping.
That's awesome.
You know, as daunting as it seems, like I kind of was happy that I read the book because it made me feel like, okay, we have to go with this. It's not the same way that our parents raised us, you know? But it's tricky and it's hard, and sometimes I get sad and I make the wrong decision. But then I'm like, okay, I'll try to do better, just like,
with
you know,
everything, you fail, get up, keep going.
Speaking of, I'll try to do better. I had a not so good moment. I sent my child to school with an empty lunchbox.
I was just going to ask you.
Literally, like, I wish you guys could see it. I really do, because her teacher texted me and literally she goes, is she on a diet? And it's her unicorn stainless steel lunchbox with nothing in it. And then they sent with one like, uh-oh, mom. So Miss Scarlett got double snacks.
So you made a mistake.
Yep, I made a mistake. I sent her with no food to school.
That's a great end because it's, and she'll be fine.
And she'll be fine.
You're fine. And it was,
I know.
You know, and it is what it is, but everybody's going to have a parenting fail. I think that's a great thing to see, because mostly we see magnificently packed, beautiful, curated lunches on, you know, on Instagram. And
I know.
The reality is that happens. You're not the first person who forgot to put food in the box. I noticed that you have a new bag line that part of the proceeds go to Baby to Baby.
Baby to Baby. I'm an ambassador,
I wanted
Baby to
hear
Baby.
About that. How can they find them?
So you can go on mollysims.com. I have a collection with a woman named Rachel Miriam, and it all started because I like giving gifts and hostess gifts, and I took this bag that had this pink monogram, and then my morning headquarters girlfriends were like, I need this bag, and then their friends need this bag, and then it kind of just became, the woman was like, why don't you just do this with me? And so we have like a small little line, a percentage goes to Baby to Baby. And for those of you who don't know about Baby to Baby, it's not even local anymore. It's like now I think we have 38 states visiting us. And it's an amazing charity. We help women, we help babies, we help families, diapers, school supplies, cribs, blankets, you name it, we need it, and we get it to them. And it's an incredible, really. Nora Weinstein and Kelly Sawyer are our presidents, and they have done just a phenomenal job in our board and our group of angels. If you guys ever want to have any baby clothes, now I think literally 38 states are now involved, and actually here in LA. But it's a great way to give back and you know, all the stuff that you don't need, someone needs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's awesome. Like, I have to say, it's one of the best things I've done, you know, and I've done a lot of work with different charities, but I love it. This will be my 7th year, pretty much since the beginning. And every year when I was pregnant, they really loved me because I was like their poster child, but I still really love them. And we actually have our angel meeting this month. So
good. Well, people can donate. It's
www.baby2.org. Yeah. You guys can go to mollysims.com. We talk about lifestyle. I have 2 books. We're thinking about writing a 3rd. So if you guys go on my social, check me out, you know, give me little messages. Tell me what you think my 3rd book should be. We're really toying around for the past month about it. It's going to be definitely mom, but what's underneath it? Is it more health and fitness, beauty? Is it more parenting? Is it more, probably not parenting. Elise's going to do that.
No,
but we're going to hyper-focus it a little bit. Go younger, go older. You can learn a lot. It's interesting.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank
but
you.
But always be respectful. I love you, Elisa Pressman. Here's to being a good human.
And now for my closing notes.
So what do I mean by discipline? Discipline, from the Greek word to teach, isn't about punishment. Discipline gets a pretty heated rap, but really it's a lot of pressure for parents to manage their children's behavior, not be embarrassed when they're outside and their kid is throwing a tantrum, trying to figure out how to navigate the very high emotions of a toddler or preschooler. And you want to be sensitive and supportive, but also have clear expectations and boundaries. And it is possible. But since this is a really long discussion, I'm breaking it up into different parts. So today I'm just going to go over a few tips to try to change the tone in the household and make it a little bit less of a power struggle. And we'll continue the conversation and dive into more details. Try this right now. Tell your child what to do instead of focusing on what not to do. When you tell someone what you expect of them, they're much more likely to do it, especially if you give a short explanation about why they're expected to do it. Say please because it's polite, but make your demands in statement form. You're not asking your child to come sit at the table. You're telling them, please come sit at the table so we can have dinner. And if there are choices to give, offer your child two choices, not more than that. Even adults don't like too many choices. It can be really overwhelming. And if there isn't a choice, that's okay. You just need to make your expectations clear and be sensitive if your child is feeling like, I don't want to be doing that right now. Your child doesn't have to want to listen to you. It's okay for them to be upset about it, and it's okay for you to be compassionate and empathize with them. Try not to sweat the small stuff. So when you catch your child doing something annoying, it's not damaging anyone and it's not really that big of a deal, but you've just had a day and you just don't want to see all the pillows thrown off the sofa. Try to take a breath and realize that if you give them lots of negative attention for throwing pillows off the sofa, they're just going to want to do it more. If anything, tell your child what to do. Please put the sofa cushions back on the couch. Or you could say, oh, you look like you want to make a fort. I'm going to come and join you. Then you can have a connected moment. And chances are, after a few minutes, they'll want to put the cushions back on the couch anyway. Catch your child doing the things that you asked of him. Don't turn your child into a praise junkie where they're just looking for your approval, but letting your child know, hey, I noticed that you've been working really hard at listening to me in the morning when we're getting ready for school is totally fine. Whether it's putting on his shoes or packing his lunch, we tend to want to fixate on the negative, and that can create that cycle of power struggles and negative feelings in the mornings especially, or during any time of transition. Take a couple of these tools, try them out, and let me know how things are going and what the tone is in the house, and we're going to spend a lot more time talking about how to help your child learn to self-regulate, how to help your child manage in the world with so many rules, but also we're not interested in letting the sparks go away. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to DM me on @RaisingGoodHumansPodcast. Please let me know your discipline questions and any other questions. And if you liked the show, please subscribe, rate, and review. And please join me next week when I'm speaking with Dr. Polly Young Eisendrath, who wrote a book called The Self-Esteem Trap and Raising Confident and Compassionate Kids in an Age of Self-Importance. Have a great week.